You are listening to the Rob Scott Podcast, your source for Rob's take on current events. Let's begin the show.
I started off my podcast today with the air raid sirens for a reason, for a couple of reasons, actually. All of us are aware of what's going on and over and Middle East, Israel, and the Gaza Strip. And I wanted to play that just to kind of a reminder of thinking about Israel and praying for them. It also makes me think about how blessed we are in this country that we don't wake up to these sounds as frequently as they do in the Middle East. This is a constant thing in the Middle East. And you know, when I was young, I didn't live in Tornado Alley at all, but I lived in Ohio, and we used to have a lot of instances where there was really bad thunderstorms. And actually, I sat through several tornadoes in my time. And at the end of our street, we had a warning siren that would go off periodically, testing and things like that. And it would also go off when there would be a storm or any kind of tornado warning, and it would just howl, you know, it just go around in circles and it would just howl. And it reminded me kind of like these air raid sirens. They're always a warning to protect yourself and get someplace safe, someplace of refuge. And I feel sorry for those people that have to live in that fear all the time. And last couple of weeks, we've witnessed the reason why, and the reason for that fear. And I don't want to get into a lot of the politics on it and everything else. It's not the time or place, but I just wanted to play those sirens just to kind of wake you up a little bit and help you to really be grateful for what you, this country that we live in, number one, and that we don't have these fears, although they are growing exponentially every day. I feel for Israel at this time. I really do. And I feel for the whole area there, because of actions of a group of people are going to affect that whole region. And for me, from what I've been able to listen to and watch, like I've always said, I've always tried to watch and I try to listen and I try to gather information before I make a statement about something. What you have is a group of people that just hate other people. And Hamas and Iran and Hezbollah, they just are not going to be satisfied until every single Jew out there is non-existent anymore. They kill off every one of them. And they operate off hate. And I just don't... I can't comprehend that kind of hate coming from a person. I mean, I've had my moments of, you know, dislike and feelings of hate for what people have done to me. It's nowhere even close to what is going over in the Middle East. And I can't, you know, it's kind of embarrassing to even say it, but, you know, to have that such extreme hate where you would just unprovoked go in and just slaughter young adults, children, families, take people hostage, all because you dislike somebody or you hate somebody in their existence. It's just incredibly hard for me to comprehend. Although our history is plentiful of hatred towards Israel, and I have that as a reference, that this kind of hate and this kind of just debauchery, you know, is in our culture, is in our history, and it can always rear its ugly head. And we've seen it this year, and we've seen it this last couple of weeks with the attack on Israel. And my prayers go out to you, and families who have lost loved ones, and families who have had family members taken hostage. I pray for their safe return, and I pray for peace in that area. And also with that peace, I completely and utterly respect the right and the right for Israel to protect itself, and support that 100%. That being said, that's enough. The second reason why I wanted to play the sirens is because if you notice, I didn't do a podcast last week. And the reason for that is I was traveling, and I had to fly back to Ohio because my mother had passed away. She passed away Thursday, a week ago. I was trying to fly out. My brother had called me, told me that mom's not going to last too much longer. You might want to start looking at flights. So I started looking at flights, and of course, when you're trying to get a flight, you know, the day of, they're not cheap at all. So I finally found one that was workable, and I flew in on Thursday afternoon, and we were actually just landing and pulling into the gate to where, you know, where the plane was supposed to park, and my brother texted me, said mom had passed. So my effort to try to get out there before mom passed away failed. I wasn't surprised at all, because I know that she hadn't been eating or drinking anything for a few days. So, you know, drinking, she was 95 years old. She lived a long life. And she lasted 4 days without any food or water, which was incredible at her age. And so actually, when my brother had texted me that she had passed, it was kind of a relief on my part, because I know that she'd been wanting to go home to see her husband for a long time. And although I was wanting to see her before she passed, and that she knows that all of her children were next to her, I didn't get a chance to do that. And so I wanted to make my podcast this week about my mother, kind of a tribute to my mother. And you know, what I talked about, the siren at the beginning is a warning to get somewhere safe, you know. And my mother always, in my mom and dad and my family, I've always felt a place of safety with my parents. And I've always felt a place of safety when I was talking to my mother. My dad passed away in 2004, so she's lived 19 years, almost 20 years without her husband, who she loved with all her heart. And we are all surprised that she did last as long as she did. Every time that I talk to my mother, and I try to talk to her every Sunday, just call her to see how she was feeling. Some days she was doing better than others. But most days she was cognitive and always, you know, would, when I would call, she goes, "Oh, Bobby, I'm so glad that you called. And how are you doing?" And we would talk, and I would, you know, get the scoop on what's going on with her and how she's feeling and everything. And almost every time that I had a conversation with my mom, she was always concerned about me. When I was growing up, you had these priesthood interviews when you're a youth, and with the bishop and everything, and it was kind of like a coming to Jesus kind of moment. Each time you had these interviews, about twice a year, and I felt like that's what it was with my mom, in a very loving way. It wasn't in a forced way or anything like that. But my mom would always ask me two questions. Inevitably, she would always ask me two questions. Number one question she'd always wanted to know is if I'm happy. She knows that I went through a divorce and everything else like that, and she's very concerned about my happiness. And she's always wanting to know that. So that was the first question she always asked me. And I'd let her know that I'm doing well and I'm happy, and please don't worry about me, Mom. You know, you worry about yourself and your health, and don't worry about it. She goes, "I know, but I just can't, I cannot worry. You're my son. You're my baby in the family." Which always meant a lot to me. The second question she would always ask me was this: "Did you go to church today?" Because I usually called on Sunday. And I was able to respond to her, "Yes, Mom, I did go to church today." And she'd always tell me, she goes, you make sure you continue to go. Because that's what you've been taught. You know the principles that the church teaches. And as you go to church, you are reminded of those principles and those standards that you've been taught. And I'm happy that you're going. So as long as you're happy, which it sounds like you are, and you're going to church, I'm a happy mother. And I always needed that every week, every Sunday, and talking to my mom, because it reminded me of who I am, and as Dad would say, remember who you are and who you represent. And she helped me to do that. 95 years of her life, and ever since I was old enough to understand and have conversations with my mother has always been a stalwart lady. She's always kept to her principles, lived her principles, lived her religion all of her life, and she endowed me with that same commitment to do so. And it's not easy today, you know, but when you get in the habit of going to church and you get in the habit of living your religion, your life has a lot more meaning to it and depth to it. It helps you to overcome disabilities and difficulties in your life, whatever they mean, death, divorce, you know, loss of loved ones, job changes. It doesn't matter. It helps you to, it doesn't excuse you from those things in no way, shape, or form, but it helps you to deal with those things and look at things eternally. And that's what my mother always taught me, is to look at things eternally. My dad used to always say that salvation is a personal thing. Eternity is a family thing. And I 100% agree with that. And my mom, I think, always focused on what was eternal and what was with her family and her children and her family. And I appreciate that. That's one thing she shared with me and instilled in me throughout my life. And I am so grateful for who she was. I learned some things while I was away at the funeral and things like that. I knew my mother's favorite color was blue. I didn't know that her favorite flower is a daisy, though. I didn't know that. So we had a bunch of daisies there. And one of her grandchildren had done an interview with her a few years ago. And we're asking her questions about how she met her dad, how she joined the church, and the background with all that. And there's a couple of things that I learned that I didn't know, and I was very happy to. It would be my son's granddaughter, so my great niece, I guess, or my niece. was and I've got this written down, she sent it to everybody, but she talked about the interview, and she asked the question how she joined the church, and of course the missionaries came knocking at their door. She answered the door, she let them in. She felt something special when they came to the door and she let them in. After a few lessons, she decided she wanted to join the church. My father, on the other hand, was a member of the Church of Christ at the time. Was a very dedicated member of that congregation, and was thinking about taking his family and moving down south. And he had conversation with my mother, and my mom, knowing what she had learned from the missionaries in the church, said, "I'm not doing that. I'm happy with this." She ended up getting baptized. And said she's not going to move, and that's good. That's my mom. My mom is very stubborn, and she told my father that she wasn't going to go. She didn't want to go because of what she'd been taught by the missionaries, and she was happy with the church that she had joined in the LDS Church. So, my father, very wisely, decided to not do that and not move and everything. He investigated the church and eventually joined a church along with his mother and father and his other family members, his brothers and sisters. I didn't know that at the time. I knew that my mother had joined first, but I didn't know that of my father's membership in the Church of Christ, and that he, you know, decided to investigate the church himself and decided to go ahead and join. I think that's what my dad always talked about, you know, your own personal salvation, and then eternity is talking about families. And I think he understood the significance of the church teachings about families, about moms and dads being sealed together for eternity, and families being sealed together for eternity, that he didn't have in his current religious repertoire, I guess, if you want to say that, his ideologies. And so it's my mom who kind of like pioneered our family into coming into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we'll have generations now of a family that are blessed as a result of that and those principles. And my mom has always been a person that has always lived a very principled life. My mom was a very innocent person. Yes, she was stubborn and she could be a pain in the ass at times, like all people can. I love her for her individualism and her stubbornness. And I think that's why she lived as long as she did after Dad died. But she believed in what she was taught. She lived the principles and the standards that she was taught until the day she died. She always had her temple recommend, even though she wasn't able to go to church anymore. She paid her tithing on everything, all of her increase. She tried to do everything she could to live her covenants. And it's such a really good example to me. And as the generation that Mom and Dad bore of her faith. And I want to live my life in a way similar to my mother's. I want my life to be an example of my faith, my principles that I've been taught. A lot of people have a problem, and I don't understand this. A lot of people have a problem. And, you know, I kind of understand it from the standpoint of, okay, you might not have had the best mom or dad. They weren't, you maybe didn't even have a mom and dad in your life. And there are circumstances where I get it. I understand where people might not feel this way. But if you come from a pretty normal family where you have a mother and father, and they have taught you certain principles and standards, I think it only makes sense to me that, okay, you actually have a desire to want to find out for those things, find out those things are true for yourself. You have to at some point in your life, you have to make the determination that I'm going to find out whether these principles are true. And today, I just don't think that kids, this last couple of generations, are willing or have a desire to do that. And that's, I've talked about this before in other episodes, how we have, our level of church attendance has gone down. People are not, you know, generations are not following the religious beliefs and religiosity that their parents have shown through the years. And we're seeing a severe reduction in it. And I believe that we're seeing the results of those principles not being transferred from one generation to the next. Now we have a couple of generations now that we're seeing this decline. And I think if you make the comparison between that decline and what's happening in the world and what we're accepting as ideologies and doctrines and stuff, I think you can make a real good case and debate on the effect that we have of not attending church and not looking at what your parents taught you as a child and coming to a knowledge of those things and applying those principles and standards in your own life. And what we have today is we have a very selfish generations, a couple of generations now that are very selfish, self-interested, and the only thing that really matters to them is themselves, and it's not a good direction to go. And my mom and both my parents were good examples of people. Not only were they weren't members of the church, you know, they were both members of another religious organization, and they decided to make the change and accept these doctrines, and they lived those doctrines all their lives and shared that belief and their testimonies to their children. And then, as my father would say, I'm going to teach you good principles, and I'm going to teach you correct principles, and then you got to learn to govern yourself. And that's the way my mom and dad lived, and I've always taken that in a way that I need to find out for these things for myself whether these things are true or not. I just can't live on borrowed light all the time. I just can't live on what I don't want to live my life and just doing and what my mom told me. You know, I'm not that way. I'm not that kind of a person, and I haven't. I live the principles because of what my mom and dad taught me, what they advised me to do. And I am eternally grateful for them and my mother for number one, their example, and their unyielding example of the standards and the principles of the church, and shared those with me, shared those with the children, and then explained that now it's your responsibility to become an adult and find out these things are true for yourselves, and then live them, and then be committed to them and live them. And I will always be grateful for her example. For 95 years, well, not 95, but for most of her adult years since she was in her 20s, so 70-some years, my mom have lived these principles. And she was a happy person. I think she left this life happy. Just like when my father passed away, my brother asked him before he passed away, Dad, you know, how you feel about, you know, life and things like that, and where you're going. And my father responded to him. We were both in the hospital with him together, and he shared with us. He says, and my brother Todd asked him this question. He goes, Todd, he says, this is what I've been preparing my whole life for. And that's an eternal view. That's an everlasting view of life, and a knowledge that this life here on this earth is just a short time through eternity. But what we do here in this life is so significant. And really sets up the stage for our life eternal. My mom and dad understood that, and they shared that with their children. And I will be forever grateful for both my father and my mother, who just passed away, for that knowledge that they gave me. You know, they taught me to be honest and to be true and faithful, to be a good person to friends and coworkers. They lived those principles themselves as an example of what we should do as children. And I have tried to do the same thing, honor my mom and my father by teaching those things to my kids, my four children. And the only thing you can do is pray that they take those principles and those standards and apply them to themselves. I've taught them the same thing and teach you good principles. Now you need to govern yourself. And I hope that they do. And they are good children. They are good. They are good people. I love them. And they're you know, they're raising their families. They're doing their responsibilities as individuals and adults. And I'm very grateful for that. And I pray that the generations that follow, the children that they have, that they're able to not break this chain, you know, not break this link that my parents started with me, and that they stay stalwart in their beliefs, and because they found out for themselves that these things are true. And Mom, I'm eternally grateful. I see what's happening in the world today, and I hear a lot of sirens going off, you know, in our world today, in our country, in our government, and all this stuff that's happening over in the Middle East right now in Israel. You know, I bring it home to, I try to make it personal, and I, in my own personal way, I understand what they're going through. I can't relate physically and what's going through, and the generations and the centuries that have taken place with Israel. But from a personal standpoint, I can understand how important it is to listen and to live your principles, live your standards, and when these sirens go off, you don't need to be scared. You don't need to be fearful, because they're going to go off through life, all through life. You're going to have these air raid sirens. These things go off in your life, and you don't need to be scared if your foundation is based on correct principles and good standards. And I'm, like I said, I am like eternally grateful for my mother, for her life and for what she gave me. I'm gonna miss my talks with her on Sunday. I'm gonna miss my mother's beautiful voice. She had a beautiful singing voice. I'm gonna miss that. I'm gonna miss her faith. I'm going to miss my little interviews with her. And Mom, I just want you to know that I love you. and that I will always keep a place in my heart and my mind each day of what you taught me and the example that you were to me and to your family. And I hope you rest in peace. I know Dad was on the other side of the veil receiving you, and I know that there are hugs and jubilation on the other side of the veil with your husband and other family members, your mom, your sister, and there was a huge family reunion when you crossed the veil, and that gives me peace and happiness and joy in your life and celebrating your life. So, Mom, I love you. I will miss you. And whatever comes down the path, I know that what you taught me is eternal, is something that I can hold on to for the rest of my life. And that's all I want to talk about today. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. If you have a mother or father still living, please tell them that you love them. Just let them know that you love them always. Talk to them, call them if you're far away. I never lived close to home since I was 19 years old. I served my mission and I never kind of like lived at home. I've always been traveling, California to Pennsylvania to New Jersey to Utah, all over the place. I've never been home. And that's one of the reasons why I always try to stay in touch with my mom by calling them and my parents, calling them and telling them I love them and receiving their love in return. And so no matter where you are and no matter what your circumstances are with your parents, please let them know that you love them and you appreciate what they've taught you. And you know what? If you're not active in your church, whatever that is, doesn't matter to me. Maybe it's time that you re-examine your life and you start going back to church if you're not, and taking your children to church. I know it might be kind of a pain in the butt to do, but you know, you only start by going. And I promise you that if you do go, that you will feel the Spirit and that you'll feel the need and the importance of going to church. So take advantage of it now. And realizing that what we teach our children and how we teach our children is of utmost importance. So have a good week. Thanks for listening. If you like my podcast, please give me 5 stars. Share it with your friends.